This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Do we need a new handle? Do we need to be the buzz?
Oh, well.
Which should we be?
We're the fan.
We're the fan, but I mean...
The buzz was in Little Rock.
I know, but I kind of like
103.7.
It. The buzz. Maybe we could be the sports buzz, or
I have a hat.
The fan buzz.
Salt Lake City buzz for their AAA team.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
Didn't Bill Murray owned a piece?
Actually,
no, he owned a piece of the Trappers before. Sorry,
did he?
Yeah, that was it. That this is useless Salt Lake sports knowledge right here for you in the city of Cleveland.
Your friend, my friend, Sam Amico was employed in Salt Lake City for a short period of time,
mm-hmm.
and Sam brought me a Salt Lake Buzz hat,
mm-hmm.
and he also brought me an Ogden Raptors hat, except for one thing. It might be a collector's item because Ogden is spelled wrong stitching on the hat.
They spelled Ogden wrong?
On their own hats that they're selling in their concession stands or souvenir stands.
No way.
Their team shops, they spelled Ogden wrong. They spelled it O-D-G-E-N.
What famous university is Ogden?
Is it Brigham Young?
Tough one.
Where's Brigham Young?
Weber State.
Oh, there you go. Yes. Okay.
Let's play trivia.
The Cavs are not active, folks, as we know right now. They've been eliminated by the Indiana Pacers.
The league would likes when teams aren't active right now. They like the spotlight on their current teams.
They got kicked out after 5 games.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not good. And that has led to some... Lots of speculation, lots of wacky trade rumors, lots of interesting trade rumors involving the Cavaliers. And there's one name that keeps coming up involving the Cavaliers, and I keep thinking, there's no way. And that name is Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Oh, I thought there was going to be a la somewhere in that name. Okay, good.
La, like an L-E?
Yes.
Followed by a Bron?
Yes.
That's not the one. It's Giannis. And I keep thinking, there's no way. And immediately we heard trade Darius Garland and Jared Allen for Giannis. Just go do it.
Oh, yeah.
There's no way that Milwaukee's doing that trade.
Jeff, here's what I would do. I would give them the entire roster of the Cleveland Charge. That's just me. Like, think about that. The numbers game.
How do you think that would work?
That's just it. We're going to send them the entire Charge team, and they'll give us back Giannis. It's easy.
Okay.
I love when people come up with these draft ideas or these trade ideas that they're like, oh, we'll just give them like the last 5 guys at the end of the bench for that. That's a 5-for-1 deal. Come on. How could that go wrong?
There's another offer that I saw yesterday. And I will say it made me pause for a second. But I don't think Milwaukee does this trade. You tell me if Milwaukee does this trade.
Is this with the Cavs?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I think there has to be a ton more thrown in by the Cavs, and I don't think they have it. It was Giannis even up for Evan Mobley. I don't think, and you know what an Evan fan I am.
Yeah.
I don't think there's any way on God's green earth that Milwaukee trades Giannis for Evan Mobley.
I don't know. So you're trying to sell that as defensive player of the year who's young.
With upside.
Yeah, it's going in the other direction. You'd have to give them all of your 2030 draft picks. First rounders, probably at least 2 or 3, right?
You can't trade them.
Past the 30-something.
Oh, you'd have to keep trading and trading. And
if you're in the second apron, those things might get frozen to be the last pick in the first round.
There's all kinds
of
stuff.
So why I would never trade with the Cavaliers right now?
I would think the only way this would get their attention.
I should say I would never trade a draft pick with the Cavs right now.
This would get their attention and might make them do it. Would you trade Darius Garland and Evan Mobley for Giannis? Now, see, that to me guts the Cavs.
Yeah.
And I don't know that I would do that trade. And I am a huge Giannis fan. And Giannis is under contract. He's got a player option in 27-28, according to Spotrac, for $62 million.
Say that again?
It's a player option. According to Spotrac, he's under contract, it appears, for next season, the year after that. I know there's some funny stuff going on there. And he's got an upcoming extension. I think that's what's going on now. But at his age, I don't know if I'm the Cavs, and he's 30 years old. He could play at an extremely high level for another 7 or 8 years.
Okay.
At the very least 5. Let's go with 5. Okay. He could play until he's 34 at a very high level. I don't know that I would move Evan Mobley in a trade.
By the way, the ESPN trade machine, so you want Garland and Mobley for...
No, I don't want it. I'm just saying.
I'm just throwing it out there, right? That might be like one of the few things that might entice Milwaukee.
Maybe.
Garland and Mobley together?
I would think that might entice them.
So the numbers come under, and so it's it failed. The trade failed for Giannis. You can't even do it.
Why?
I'm assuming because the Cavaliers...
I mean, they could fill out pieces to make it work.
Yeah, I'm just saying straight up, those two for him, you got to figure out a way to get through it.
And you could.
Because the money is virtually the same.
You could. Don't you think?
The Bucks are over the luxury tax threshold with this trade, and the incoming aggregate salaries exceeded what's allowed through 125% plus the Cavs' $100,000 rule. You got to cut $20 million from the Bucks' incoming trade value to make this successful. Well, that ain't never going to happen. Never.
There's some stuff there.
You've got to fix $20 million there, according to this, because they're in the second apron.
I don't know, man. I just think there's some trade offers out there, and the more I hear about them, the more and I'm in no hurry to bust up the Cavs. I saw a trade offer yesterday. You know, somebody just threw it out. Jared Allen to the Nets for Cam Johnson. Okay. Well, if you trade Jared Allen, you need two more big guys because you need one right now. You know, and though big guys aren't necessarily dominating right now, take a look at Oklahoma City. You know, they have a couple of serviceable big guys. Take a look at Indiana. They have a couple of serviceable big guys. Miles Turner's done a nice job. Thomas Bryant has come in and helped out. Take a look at the Knicks. They started Karl Anthony Towns and Mitchell Robinson after shaking up their lineup a little bit. I mean, teams have two big guys. Some teams have three. And if you were to bust up one of them,
I can't see the Cavs that... The only move that they made last year was changing coaches. And knowing how handcuffed they are with trying to make any movement, I can't see them gutting what they have.
Yeah, I can't.
And expecting
either.
To get better.
The only move that I would make if I were Kobe Altman that I would consider making out of the guys who are considered their core four is if somebody called and offered me a really, really, really good wing. For Darius Garland, a guy who I felt was a comparable talent on the wing to what Darius is in the backcourt. And I would do that only because of busting up the two smaller guards in the backcourt who are ball dominant. Other than that, I'm going to roll with it and go to the trade deadline. And if it's not working, then maybe I could do something there. But I would not look to trade any of these four guys. Jim's in Aurora, home of the Green Men. Hello, Jim.
Hey, Jim.
Hey, guys. Love the show.
Thank you. We appreciate you listening.
So my opinion is that they always talk about chemistry, and we've seen it in all of sports, especially in Cleveland here, about breaking up our key guys. I don't think we trade anybody. Keep it what it is. Remember, Garland did have that injury that affected him, and you can tell. Mm-hmm. Do you really want to trade him when did he reach his full potential in the playoffs? Maybe not. What if this was just a fluke? and we just had a bad round in the playoffs. What if that's all it was? The Pacers are killing it. What if that's – Rick Carlisle said they were hot, and the Cavs just met them when we were hot.
Maybe. Super possible. Maybe.
I'll buy it.
The one thing, though, Jim, take a look around the East. You know, New York looks like a team that the Cavs are going to have to deal with, you know, for a couple of years to come. Same thing with Indiana. Boston will be as well. I mean, do the Cavs need a tweak to become a better playoff team? Because that's what it's about now.
Yeah. I agree. Maybe a tweak, but I don't think you break up the key four. That's just my opinion, guys. That's just my opinion.
Jim, we appreciate you calling. Thank you very much. I don't think you do either, Andy.
I don't think they have a choice.
Unless Kobe Altman answers his cell phone and there's some GM on the other end of the phone and says, you know what, we really want Darius, and here's what we're willing to give you. And Kobe thinks, wow, that takes care of a couple of things for me. And you make that move. That's the only one.
It doesn't – can we call it the core five? Because I got to believe DeAndre Hunter needs to start next year. Especially based on the investment they made.
Meredith, core five has no ring to it. What are we going to call them?
Core four sounds better because it has fabulous an internal five. Rhyme.
Fabulous five could work.
Although wasn't the...
The Fab Five was Michigan.
Yeah, that's what I thought. I feel like that was already...
We could go fabulous. That's, you know, that's going full
fantastic,
work.
Fantastic. Like off the cute. Fantastic Four, Fantastic Five.
Doesn't work. I think the Fantastic Five has the same non-ring as Core Five.
How about the Flashy Five?
What time of the press conference?
The Baskin side.
Yes.
I
can't think of a good...
Would you move Evan Mobley under any circumstance?
Yeah, it just depends on...
You would.
It would have to be something outrageous, and I still, even if I wanted to move him, I don't know that I can. Take a week and read the second apron and try to figure out how they're going to make some kind of move. I hear everyone going, they're going to make a major move in the offseason. The Cavaliers are poised to make a major move. Ha! Hey, when I see it, I'll believe it, and I'll cheer Kobe for even being able to get out of this deal.
I'll cheer.
I don't know how he's going to do it. I need someone that can solve a Rubik's Cube in less than 2.5 seconds that's going to be able to figure out how to get out of the second apron.
That would be challenging. Eric is in Akron. Hello, Eric.
Eric.
Hey, guys. I plugged in my own trade to the trade machine, and it didn't work.
Yep.
But I'd love to figure out a way to make it work, which is Naz Reid for Jared Allen.
Well, now, why would you trade big guy for big guy?
Well, because I think Naz Reid's a better version of Jared Allen. I think he has more flexibility, and he's cheaper and younger.
Yeah, but now you'd have to make a trade work. See, here's the thing. I like Naz Reid. I think he's a terrific player. I'd like to add him to this group. Again, I think you need another big guy, Eric, so I wouldn't want to trade big for big, but if I could get Naz Reid, that'd be great.
Could you trade and sign Ty Jerome? Like Ty for the
I'm not going to lie. I think we're tied up on these sign and trades too because of the
second apron
stuff. Yeah. Because that's I got to look it up. It's one of those rules. I'm telling you, this franchise is absolutely handcuffed. Mine is too. Read it. You'll be fried after reading it.
What fun. Thanks for the phone call. 216-474-0092. What would you do, folks? I mean, some of these trade rumors that are being thrown around out there are huge. They're blockbusters, and I think that they're not a good idea. I'm not trading Evan Mobley and one other guy. I'll tell you who that is coming up on Baskin and Phelps.
Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of casino-style games like bingo, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Forgive me if this is going over my head. I just don't understand the logic. I mean, we've made massive progress since last year, and I think the defensive player of the award to Mobley and Donovan getting awards as well, not to mention Garland's performance this season minus the injuries, in combination with Kenny Atkinson's coach of the year is all proof of that. I think if you're looking for playoff success, you need a larger time span than one season to another to evaluate if you're moving in the right direction. From what we've seen, we have with this group of guys, especially with the bench, you've got some depth, you've got some scoring. I just don't understand why it's not just a consideration, but almost a prevalent theory at this point.
Well, I think it's because it's been 3 years with this core, and I think they've gotten exposed in the playoffs each of the last 3 years. So I think it's, you're right to say in the regular season, we've seen them take steps forward as a team. And the problem is once they get into the postseason, they're either hurt or they regress to the worst version of themselves. Like, all due respect to Indiana, that should have been a more competitive series. All due respect to Boston a year ago, that should have been a more competitive series. And certainly 3 years ago, that Knicks series should have been more competitive than it was. All three of those ending in a gentleman's sweep when you were the favorite in two of those three series.
All right, Colin.
All right.
Ask Dan answer. Yeah, right. He loved the answer
so
much.
Too much.
It was a lot. Because I think he was working off of a one-year, it's only been one season. And maybe that's just Atkinson. I think a lot of people reset just based off of Atkinson. I take your approach with it. This has been 3 years. This has not been 1 year. This has been 3 years. And you have to treat everything that happened all in the cycle. But there are fans out there that look at it like it's been 1 year with Atkinson, and this is entirely too early.
Not to go all Kobe Altman on you, but the whole idea of increasing in the margins, because that was something you pointed out a multiple amount of times, you can get worse from a talent perspective, but if your pieces fit together, you've actually increased on the margin significantly.
Oh, for sure. I mean, that's part of the problem with this team and what makes them so confusing. Like, I heard, I like Nick Wright a lot. Nick was going through some of the East teams earlier today, and he was like, and the Cavs, they got so much talent, just doesn't work out for some reason.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's the true whole everything about this Cavs team is that we all know they have a bunch of talent. It just all doesn't work. Two bigs, two guards that are too tiny. It's a puzzle that doesn't have all the right pieces.
That's where I think you're onto something. And like, this is why it can't just be about trading Jarrett. Like, that's a good potential first step, but you're still going to have issues with how the NBA is going to attack you because Darius and Donovan, they both play similar games. They're both undersized point guards. Darius is a true point guard. Donovan's a combo guard. But at some point, you made a choice that this was Donovan's team 3 years ago. And I think we've seen for three straight years, I don't think it can be Darius and Donovan's team for them to succeed in the postseason.
I think sometimes people think about the NBA and you think about it in the same way that we look at baseball sometimes. It's like, oh, I just added a 7-win player and he can work with a 6-win player. Yeah. We got so much better. It's like the pieces don't matter the same way in baseball as they do in basketball. How it all fits matters so much. And that's why the Pacers right now are thriving, Nick.
Yeah,
they have such a great bench and everything, but think about what Tyrese Halliburton does on any given night and how he's able to make everything work. But he's still the star at the end of the day. Offense still goes through him, but if he needs to facilitate, he doesn't.
Well, and the crazy
and
it part
makes it all work.
The crazy part about Donovan is, on one hand, there's just an overlap on how much Donovan and Darius, even in the playoffs, need the ball in their hands to be the best. To keep Donovan healthy, you do need like a true point guard, but you need a true point guard that is more low usage and somebody who gives you the 3-point shooting of Donovan, but maybe with some length and with some physicality that can then help protect Donovan. And when you're trading off on screens, you can kind of hide Donovan on the court.
Yeah, and even to some of the other parts of the game too. Like just even the defensive side of the ball. We kind of got on the idea that Boston would just matchup hunt against Darius all day, but when they were doing that, all of a sudden you turn around and the other side of it, Donovan was taking on more of the tougher opponents. Let's put it that way.
Dylan in Twinsburg, welcome to the show, Dylan.
Hey guys, how you doing?
What's doing up, all Dylan? Right, buddy.
There's no way I would break up, Garland and Jared Allen at this point. again, is I don't know how long you watch basketball, or particularly NBA basketball.
157 years. It's been a long time.
Well, you know, the thing about it is you don't break the team up when they win 64 games. And I understand the playoffs are a whole lot different. The only criticism that I would levy in the whole thing is the maturity level and getting tougher. And those things, and, you know, again, I listened to, you know, Richard Jefferson and a few other people on your radio station. And I'm just telling you guys, you don't do that, you know, at this point. That would be, you know, cutting your nose off to spite your face when you're talking about breaking up the core right now. These guys are maturing the level. The same thing, you know, I can give countless examples. You look at it, OKC. Did they break up their core four after, you know, last year? They didn't do that.
Well, yeah, but they did trade Josh. Wait, real quick, but they did trade Josh Giddey to Chicago for a lesser player in Alex Caruso, who fit what they needed better. Like, they did subtract from their core in Josh Giddey.
Yeah, he's not. The whole point of it, that's not really your core. I'm looking at it just like this. You guys are summarily dismissing injury. Like, it's just like, oh, it just happened. No, when you, like, Garland relies on, any guard relies on his speed and shiftiness. He had a toe injury. So you're going to get rid of him because, like, he had a toe injury, or like last year he had a jaw injury.
It's a lot of injuries, you know, Dylan.
Winning a championship, yeah, I understand that. But, like I said, winning a championship is hard. We had one of the greatest players to ever play. It took us to come back from a 3-1 deficit. It's not easy. It's like, oh, yeah, let me switch this guy out with this. It doesn't work that way. And I know I expect more from you, JP. Stop co-signing everything Nick said.
Yeah, yeah. Seriously, thank you, Dylan.
Thanks, Dylan. I expect more from me too.
By the way, every team in the NBA prunes that tree. Boston did it with Marcus Smart. I thought that was a great point, and not just Marcus Smart. The only two people that have been consistently there the last 8 years have been Tatum and Brown. If you look at everybody else that was there, Terry Rozier no longer there. He went for Kemba Walker. Oh, by the way, Kemba was there. His legs fell off. Kemba was no longer there. Horford's gone there and back a few times. Like we have to decide whether you want to win championships or whether you want to, like, love every player you have. Here's the thing. Every member of the core four, I have a big amount of admiration for. And if we're just in the business of feeling good and feeling great, fine, then bring them back. But the problem is, the NBA championship has never been more attainable for a team like Cleveland. We're seeing it with Indiana. We're seeing it with Denver. We're
just
seeing it with...
Just look and see how open the East actually is.
And the East is a hell of a lot more open than the West is.
It's there for the taking. Like, that's the thing. You're a couple moves away. It's there from the taking. Like, that's the part that makes me really want to do something, is that it's not like I feel like you run it back and, oh, you got some big wall that you're going to run into and be stopped with. No. You have a real chance to win an actual title. You just got to make the right moves.
You really got to stop agreeing with me, though. You're just what show is he listening to that you and I just co-sign everything?
There's two routes I could have gone. I could have laughed and just kind of shrugged it off, or I then in turn could have got defensive. But I think Dylan wanted that.
And you know what? I think Dylan,
is he trying to drive a stake through us here?
Yeah, and trying to do what you do with me and Mac.
No. That's just authentic, and that's how that one goes.
Yeah, that's interesting. Alex and Fairlawn, real quick, buddy, what you got for us?
Hey, John, how you doing?
Doing pretty good.
How's it going?
Thank you, bud.
Good. I really don't think you can be breaking up this core four. You saw what they did in the regular season. This is a first-year coach, and the reason we got gentlemanly swept is the whole team was hobbled. I mean, like, you watch the game. I mean, Garland couldn't move. And another point to make is, if you're trying to trade Ty Jerome, I think you just completely blew up his trade value.
So he's a, just real quick, Alex, he's actually a free agent, and it actually might have helped you bring Ty Jerome back because he blew up his trade value so much.
Well, yeah, it's a good point, but with that being said, do you want him back? Considering how he
so crumbled? So I think that's actually a really good question, because I think some people have moved on. We appreciate you, bud. I think now that Ty's number's going to come down because of how bad he looked in the postseason, I would bring him back, but you have to put him in the right situation. He can't be your starting point guard. Like, the role he had in the Miami series is the perfect one. which is Ty Jerome hot tonight? Yes, he plays 30 minutes. No, he doesn't play 30 damn minutes. And you just didn't have that flexibility because of Darius' health in the second half of the Miami series and certainly in the first half of the Indy series.
Yeah, it's amazing the amount of money that it seems like he cost himself. Because there would have been a team like the Nets or someone that would have paid him $50, $60 million. It's just not going to be there now.
I mean, there was even some debate about that beforehand. Now that that happened, I'd actually kind of be surprised at this moment if he wasn't back next year.
I hope he doesn't sit up at night thinking about that. I'm sure he does. I hope he doesn't.
I don't think Ty sits up most nights thinking about much things.
I hope that's the case.
Like, I think he seems like a really low-key dude. He seems like a dude who just kind of rolls off his back.
Kind of describing him like Forrest Gump a little bit. And I don't know that Ty Jerome appreciates that.
No, I don't know. I'm just saying he's a very naturally mellow-seeming guy.
Got to be a couple of fries short of a happy meal if you're not staying up thinking about the money amount of money that you cost yourself.
Or he just doesn't have debilitating anxiety like you and I do.
Because you know that's all we would think about. I couldn't be a pro athlete for a lot of reasons. But the biggest one is the amount of money I just realized I cost myself in having just cold streaks or stretches or with the PGA Tour, how they have like different putts that turn out to be worth like $300,000 or $400,000 at the end of it.
Yeah.
That would just drive me insane.
216. I'm actually calm, cool, and collected when everything hits the fan, so that's when I'll be my best. I'm kind of like the Forrest Gump of sports talk. 216-474-0092, kind of. In certain ways. Should the Cavs listen to offers for the core four, specifically Darius and Jarrett, and an update on Shadir versus Joe Flacco in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.
Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of casino-style games like bingo, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Brian Geltzeiler joining us right now on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Sirius XM NBA Radio, NBA TV, at BGeltzNBA on Twitter. Brian, thank you for joining us this morning.
My pleasure, guys. How we doing?
We're doing well, except I think we're kind of stuck right now.
We're not doing well, Brian. We're watching teams play right now in the Eastern Conference Finals where we thought it was a given that we would be there the entire year,
right,
and we didn't get out of the second round of the playoffs.
Never mind,
again.
Brian. We're not doing well. We're doing really bad right now, Brian.
We're getting LeBron calls,
it's horrible.
Brian. We're getting LeBron returning calls.
We're getting LeBron calls we have to dump right now, Brian. That's how bad it is.
It's rough, guys. I get it. Listen, you kind of felt like you've been past this LeBron stuff, right? And all of a sudden, these rumors, and I don't know where they come from, and some of it's nuts to me. When the whole thing starts with, well, if LeBron decides he's willing to take a league minimum, are you kidding me? Like, when's LeBron taking a league minimum? Absolutely patently absurd. Not going to happen. And listen, there's things the Cavs can do here in this offseason to change this roster to make it a little more matchup friendly. But I think the Cavs have to look at that, and I don't think LeBron should be any part of that, nor, by the way, do I think he will be any part of that. I think the Lakers situation is a very positive one for him, and probably next to Luka gives him his best chance to win, if he does have a chance to win between now and retirement, whenever that actually happens.
Go ahead,
Brian. The Cavs, you know, Ken asked me earlier in the show about whether or not I thought they were more talented than the teams playing today, and I said yes. And I wasn't going to change my mind just because they lost. I do think they are more talented than the Pacers, and I think they're more talented than the Knicks. So why is it that they're sitting at home right now?
Well, a couple things. Number one, the Cavs were banged up in that series, and Garland's foot was bad, and Mobley was dealing with an ankle issue. And listen, Mitchell wasn't totally healthy. But with all that said, I do think there's an underlying issue that happened with the Cavs during the season, where the Cavs, in thinking that they were just keeping guys healthy and fresh, they rested guys at times with little knick-knack injuries. And I think when you do that, and then come playoff time and guys have knick-knack injuries, they don't necessarily know how to play with those types of injuries and be able to push through. And I do think there's a little bit of a mental and physical toughness issue with the Cavs. And I know it's something that's being addressed in-house right now, because I think they see it too. So that's the mentality right now, and saying, okay, the Cavs are definitely more talented than both of these teams are left. But nonetheless, Indiana disposed of them quickly. And I also think there's a roster construction issue with the Cavs. And I don't know that it's an easy fix. And I think they can't fix both issues. They have to lean into one or the other. And it's obviously the two bigs and two small guards. Well, which one do you keep? Which one allows you to match up better with, let's face it, the two teams that are playing right now? Because those are going to be the two that you're probably going to have to go through next year. We're staring down the barrel of Boston in a transition year and not having Tatum the entire year and having to figure out how to get out of their financial quagmire. And I think these are the two teams you look at. And maybe if that's what you're going to, if those two teams that you look at and how to match up, I think the move is an Allen trade to.
The best players remaining right now in this series in the Eastern Conference are Jalen Brunson and Tyrese Halliburton. Do I have to now put them ahead of Donovan Mitchell in the pecking order of best Eastern players?
No, I don't think so. Listen, I think you have to. By the way, I don't know if it's fair to bring up Brunson as one of the best players available without mentioning Karl Towns as well. Because the Knicks would be buried right now without what he just did in the fourth quarter of that game, and that was mostly done with Brunson on the bench. So I want to be fair about that, too. With all that said, in a Cavs lens, no, Mitchell's better than both of those guys. And listen, Mitchell had a better year than both those guys. Now, again, that Brunson thing could flip next year, and Halliburton's probably closer than most Cavs fans want to acknowledge to Donovan Mitchell. But as I was saying earlier, guys, I think trading Allen for some wing depth and another starting wing that can step in and start next to Hunter's the move. Like, when you look at how you're going to match up better with these teams, having, like, for example, and this is not, you know, I don't want to be aggregated on this because this is not intel more than speculation and just kind of, you know, throwing out ideas, but even something like Allen to the Warriors for Kuminga and Moody. Give you wing depth, give you size that starts, and you match up much better with the Pacers and the Knicks that way. Because that's the thing. When you look at the Cavs roster construction, the lack of having those multiple wings, the Tatum and Brown, the Anunoby and the Bridges, even to a lesser extent here, what you're seeing with the Pacers with guys like Siakam, Nesmith, and Nembhard, and Halliburton being a long guard, you do need some more length on the perimeter if you're the Cavs. And a couple things that you've learned, you can count on Hunter. Jerome's not going to defend in a big spot. I don't know that bringing back guys like Merrill and Okoro are going to solve the kinds of issues that they had. Talent-wise, you know, on both ends of the floor at those wing spots, and really Allen, to me, maybe the sacrifice, because I do think that you have so much dynamic shot-making potential out of Garland and Mitchell, and they found something together this year, and I think that's something you want to tap into deeper, not get rid of. Almost by process of elimination, talent-wise, I think splitting the bigs is probably the offseason move.
We've had multiple years now where Darius Garland plays terrific, all-star level, heck, all-NBA level for much of the season, and then it fell off a cliff, and then he got injured, and the playoffs were really bad. So whether it's injury or whether it's just his limitations as one of the smaller point guards in the league, is it something that we officially have to start to think about pivoting from at some point?
A little bit. I mean, listen, again, I just gave you the two considerations. Break up the bigs, break up the guards, right? So you have to look at that option. And I think some of that, guys, listen, I'm predisposed to break up the bigs. I think there's a market for Allen out there. And again, I love the Garland-Mitchell combination. I think there's playoff potential. Good players for healthy. With all that said, if you go out on the trade market and start to throw both names out there and find that the returns on Garland are outsized and enormous, you have to consider that too. I think you do have to make one substantial change to the top end of this roster. But if you're not going to see value in, I wouldn't move Mobley. I know there's been Mobley for Giannis rumors. I to me, that's a starter if I'm the Cavs, and I love Giannis. But, you know, you have, to me, your young core here that you want to build around is Mitchell, Mobley, and Garland in that order. So I wouldn't go near that. But if you're talking about splitting the bigs, which is what I am talking about, the guy that moves to me is Jared Allen.
I think a lot of people agree with you on that, Brian. Do you believe that there's a bigger market then for Darius Garland than what I might have thought? Because, you know, we always keep saying, we need a wing, we need a wing, we need a wing. But, and people are quick to trade Darius Garland for a wing, but I'm thinking, who wants to get Darius Garland give up their dynamic wing? Is there a market then for Darius? Am I wrong?
No, I think there's a market for Darius Garland. I think there could be a significant market for Darius Garland. I think a team like Brooklyn would look at a young guard like Darius Garland and say, heck, we'll pay up for him. And so there's teams that would do that. I think you've lost a few in the market. Listen, the Spurs trading for De'Aaron Fox and then having a number two pick here, which looks likely to be Dylan Harper, that takes them out of the market for him. But you can look, listen, a team like Sacramento could use a guard like that, has a couple of pieces that potentially Cleveland could use. Like, there's a market for him. There would be a significant market for him. It's not, I don't look at him as being a bad or a toxic contract, because hand the guy the ball as a lead guard and he's an excellent high pick and roll guard, can make shots, makes passes, makes a lot of the right decisions, and with the right defensive infrastructure, he's easily hidden. I think one of the things that you look at with him with the Cavs is that he's really not a good defensive player. And by the way, Donovan Mitchell has moments where he's not a good defensive player. And sometimes hiding both of those guys, especially in a playoff setting, becomes difficult. And we did see that in the Pacers series. Now, in all fairness, Garland was not a healthy player in that series. So I don't know that that's a fair appraisal of what he is defensively, but we do know defensively he's not in the upper echelon of defensive guards. So that is certainly a problem. But again, I do think there would be a vibrant market for him because of his age, because of what he's achieved at a young age, and because of his immense talent. He's also the type of guy, and I think this year kind of made his reputation, improved his reputation around the league, where the thought was he was going to ask out if Donovan Mitchell was signed to an extension. He was very open-minded about what Kenny Atkinson could do with both of them together, and it worked out, and he was a willing and enthusiastic participant in it working out. So I don't think teams would turn away from him from that standpoint. It's a long way of me saying I think the market for him would be pretty good if that's the direction they decided to go to.
Hey, what do you think about the state of the NBA? We're talking to Brian Geltziler right now. Terrific breaking this stuff down. 7 champions in 7 years. The physicality that we are seeing in the playoffs and the amount of parity that it just seems like more teams have a chance to win the championship than I can ever remember. How do you feel about the state of affairs?
I like it. I say I like it. And I go forward with caution because I wonder if the board of governors and the large majority of the owners of the league are going to like it. I wonder if the TV networks that just ponied up the amount of money they ponied up are going to like it. Because ultimately, when this new CBA was put in with this second apron, the underlying object of it, okay, I should say the overarching object of it was parity. They wanted the second apron to function as a hard cap. And guys, it has. It's really deterring teams. Teams are doing what they have to do to stay out of the second apron because of the handcuffs it puts on you in adding to your roster and improving your roster. So when you do that, when you put a hard cap effect on a collective bargaining agreement and on a salary cap, you're going to get more parity. And that's what we have right now. We have more parity. But is what's the stomach of the Board of Governors for an OKC-Indiana final? That's the big question. Listen, an OKC-New York final, having New York in it, they'll be thrilled. That's great. But an OKC-Indiana final, 2 smaller markets. And listen, I think it'll still do a decent rating. It'll be wonderful basketball, 2 teams that are fun to watch. But how many of the local regional casuals is that bringing in? Not the volume it would with a team like New York. So are the bottom line numbers going to be there? And if they're not, how's the Board of Governors going to feel? Because if this is what's going to happen, and again, we have a good 4 more years in this CBA till we negotiate it out. If this becomes parity is the norm here, I could see a pivot you know, front with the Board of Governors, leaning towards back, helping the big markets that want to spend more. And that's the one thing. If you wanted to spend more, they were going to punish you for spending more in the CBA. And this is a result of that. They're getting what they went after. They are. The question is, do they want what they went after? They're about to find out.
Well, I'll tell you this, Brian. It's not just that. And what the thing about the markets, obviously true, certainly. I wonder the issue of, hey, you've had more parity, but you also have less villains. Like, there's people on dominant teams that people want to eventually see lose, and I'm not getting that. And I think that that does hurt it a little bit. Like, if the Yankees do well, okay, fine, it's a big market, but there's also a hate that everybody has. Everybody thinks they're a rival with the Yankees. Everybody thinks they're a rival with the Lakers or with the Celtics, or even with the Cowboys who want to do football, but I think it's really proven to be with Kansas City. A lot of people are tired of seeing them win. So now you don't have like a underdog story of anybody going up and beating these great teams like we saw even with the Heat and the Spurs getting them and the Dallas Mavericks getting them. And I think that takes its toll after a while.
Well, to be fair, I think the league's in transition right now. I think there's an old guard that's kind of, you know, I guess stepping aside is the wrong word, an old guard that's being moved aside by a younger revolution of player that's coming in here. And I think Oklahoma City represents a lot of that. With all that said, you're always developing new villains in the NBA. I mean, Tyrese Halliburton stood in the middle of the court at Madison Square Garden and did the choke sign on a game-tying jumper to put the game in overtime. You know, he's a scourge of the Garden fan.
I had to hide my kids. That was a very sad display, Brian. I was outraged.
Listen, I hear you, but that's the point. You talk about not having the types of villains. That's a villain right there on the floor. That's a guy that's willing to do that in front of the entire Madison Square Garden crowd. Listen, Anthony Edwards is a big, big trash talker. You know, they're about to lose this series down 3-1. A lot's going to turn on him. 2 years in a row, a conference final, hasn't been able to get through. There may be a little bit of an angry villain status being attached to him. I think all of this plays out in an organic fashion is my point. You're going to get those villains at a certain point in time. We're in it. Listen, this is Indiana's and Minnesota's second consecutive trips to conference finals for both teams. They're kind of planting their flag a little bit. And between Halliburton and Edwards, both of them have the kinds of guys that can be that villain with the right rival on the other side. Now, you want to say to me, is Oklahoma City the right rival on the other side from Minnesota? Maybe not, because they're a team that's kind of vanilla and doesn't have, you know, they're a great team to watch. But in terms of off-court dynamics, they don't have those types of personalities. With that said, they're a very together group. But listen, Halliburton's got the right enemy. Being an enemy in Madison Square Garden in New York, that's as big as it gets. Ask Trae Young. It put him on the map a while back, four years back. And again, there's been, you know, from Reggie Miller to wherever you want to go in terms of what has been a rival in Madison Square Garden, Halliburton's put himself on that radar. So I think part of it is a transition, and you'll get those rivalries and those villains to happen somewhat organically.
Brian, 20 seconds. Who is the face of the NBA right now?
You know, I always have a tough time with that question. To me, I think Nikola Jokic is the face of the NBA right now. I don't buy the fact that it can't be a foreign player. I think Jokic is the best player in the league. I did vote for SGA for MVP because I thought he was the MVP this year. But there's no doubt, I think Nikola Jokic is the face of the league. I really do. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that because of the unselfish nature of his game and how he plays and how much people attached to the league love to watch him play basketball and his attitude. He's the face of the league right now. If you want to say that belies a significant problem because of the fact that he's not all that media savvy, you can say that, but I don't necessarily agree with that. I think that him as the face of the league it's a healthy league right now. I don't think there's a lot of problems with this league at all. I think it's been a fantastic playoff, and Jokic is the face of the league is something I'm very comfortable with.
Brian, thank you very much for the time. All the best.
My pleasure, guys. Anytime. Let's do it again soon.
Absolutely outstanding stuff for Brian Geltzeiler on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. He says Jokic is the face of the league. Do you think I agree or disagree with him?
I think you'll disagree.
After watching the Eastern Conference Finals, where the Knicks have clawed back into that finals, and it looks like the Thunder are about to put away the Minnesota Timberwolves over there in the West after last night. All right, I know you're a big Bill Simmons guy. You like to listen to this. You didn't hear this clip, though?
I did not.
All right, here is Bill Simmons throwing out there. We'll see how far this goes. I got a big tasty vittle with you with Michael Jordan here in a second. But here's Bill Simmons on a possible move considering your Cleveland Cavaliers.
I'm just wondering if it all ends with him going back to Cleveland. By the way, I'm not inventing this. This has been floating around for the last 3-4 weeks, and people have been wondering. After how it ended for Cleveland, it's like, okay, what could they do? There's a couple different ways. First of all, I'm pretty sure, I don't think I'm wrong, that they could just trade Jared Allen and DeAndre Hunter for LeBron James and take the second year of his deal and maybe give him a 1-year extension. That's a trade that, according to the trade machine, you could have the LeBron opt out and then sign for a smaller deal. So it could just be LeBron for Jared Allen, a trade that I'm not even sure Cleveland would want to do because LeBron's going to be 41 years old next year, but he could opt out, do a deal around like 20 million straight up trade for Allen, or he could opt out of his deal and sign with them for the 12.9 mid-level, or he could sign with them for the minimum.
That's time.
I got it in front of me.
It's time. Let's go.
I have it right here.
Here we go. What do you got?
And pull. That lever is still going back up. Boom! No, you can't do the trade.
Previous now, audio courtesy of the Ringer. You can't do the trade. Trade machine's dead.
So
that's it.
They have to still get under the apron to be able to do any of this. I do think this is one thing. The NBA, the one thing I gave the NBA credit for is it was awesome to talk about a lot of offseason stuff because the fans could see the deals that could be done. So it wasn't a big leap to try to figure this stuff out. In this case, with multiple teams and second aprons, there's almost no deals that can be done that don't literally equal the value going back and forth, one player for one player. And it's made it harder because that robs fans of being able to have fun with stupid trades. Now, with all of that said, I do think we could say just in theory, if you could pull this off, how would you feel about LeBron James past 40, who just made another All-NBA team? Nobody had ever done that in history.
I can't be the only one, guys. NBA. I can't believe the only one. And this isn't based on anything else. I am a LeBron James fan. I am so tired of him having to pull us out of the fire. Every time this team gets close, it turns into, will LeBron come back? Maybe LeBron will come back. Can we get LeBron back? Well, can we get LeBron? Guys, it happened already once. He's 41. I don't need to do this again. I don't think he's coming back. I think he's more than happy to be in Los Angeles and to do whatever he's doing in Los Angeles with Luka and the whole thing. And he'll finish his career there probably at the end of this. Well, he's got to come out and announce when he's going to have a final season, because then they have to be able to get everybody ready to, because he's going to be an owner. So he's going to have to do things as a favor to his fellow owners, like having a farewell tour so they could all get the box office of him going there. Not like the place wouldn't sell out anyway because it's LeBron freaking James. But I am just, he ain't coming back. I'm not getting my hopes up again. And aren't you guys tired of it as well, of him having to dig us out of every hole that we've created? I think we're stuck. It's a team of nice guys. They're good guys. We can be excited during the regular season. You know what? We're going to roll the dice next year, and we'll see whether or not they get tougher. You're stuck. Sorry, this is your team.
Well, I thought this season was, well, as great as it was, 64 wins and all that, I thought the overarching thing was we're doing it without LeBron this time. And then they didn't go further into the playoffs than they had previously.
And then you're reminded
that
you didn't have LeBron.
And now we've got Bill Simmons going, oh, you still can't do it without him, and the only way you could possibly do it is if you bring him back.
Right. And look, if you brought LeBron in, this would not be about the regular season at all. I mean, LeBron this year for the first 2 months of the year literally played no defense, right? But obviously, like a guy like LeBron at his age, he's pacing himself for the only thing that matters, which is
the
trying to win another championship and winning that fifth title.
This is a team, if you got LeBron. And by the way, with the trade machine not working, can you factor in a trade machine that will work? So I'm not just, it's all shooting our mouth off, but so I'm fully not shooting my mouth off.
You'd have to find
some more that can help that would actually put this trade through.
You got a couple of seconds to find it.
Can you find something there? DeAndre Hunter, Jared Allen, and what else? You got anything else on you?
Well, what's part of it is needing LeBron to take a significant pay cut from what he could still get paid. Opting out of his deal to sign a smaller deal. Then he's also, think about it, he's leaving his kid. And the other kid just graduated, right? The other kid just graduated.
Yes, wait a minute. This says that there will be blood. He's not necessarily abandoning
his boy.
But he did.
Abandoned my child.
But wait, he did.
In crypto.com arena.
Are we not just a year removed from him orchestrating, the team drafting the one kid so that he could be close to him? So I do think that was a big part of it. Plus, he was going to his other kid's games.
Well, you know, at some point, the kid needs to leave the nest. So, I mean, that's not even going to be a part of it. So, okay. Put it all together.
I think it will be, but
you wanted me to guys wanted me to go along with this, so I'm not going to go along with it here. All right. If you got LeBron, this is a 5-6 seed team, 4-5-6 somewhere in there, because he is going to have knee tendonitis. Yeah. A whole lot during the regular season.
He's going to miss more regular season.
The seeds don't matter. I saw that. They you got don't, the one seed.
Exactly.
They didn't do anything.
Exactly.
What did the Pacers going to get? Have
to, four seed.
You're going to have to deal. By the way, the regular season would matter again because when he plays, we're going to be making comparisons like crazy and whether or not he's got any juice left for the postseason. So he's going to be sitting out a lot of games. All right? He'll get his wind up and get working towards the postseason. But now you are expecting him, with Donovan Mitchell and Evan Mobley, to be the guys to go through it. So you're going to have a lower seeding because you're not going to win as many games because he's going to be out. But you're expecting to accomplish more. That's a lot to have to put into this.
I will say the
East. That's a hell of a lot.
Right now on paper, the East looks so bad that they still could probably get a second or third seed. Because I'm removing Boston from the top of that equation. I'm assuming Joel Embiid gets injured again or doesn't play that much in a regular season next year for Philadelphia, so they're going to play young guys a lot to try to get to the finish. What, am I supposed to assume Indiana's going to win like 60 games next year? I don't.
Donovan Mitchell in this scenario, yeah, and Darius Garland.
And Evan getting better.
They're going to win games.
I think they're going to win a ton of games.
Would you want him back? If he's available, would you want him back?
You know what? I would.
Oh, my God.
I would want him back.
Good God, get over it.
But that's the problem. I can't, because I can't get out of the second round without him. I think this is more of a condemnation of them. It's more about what they can't accomplish without him more than, man, we need LeBron. Yeah, we do. We do need a LeBron. It's just, unfortunately, I don't think they can make this work. And by the way, I'm just not making moves to make moves. Like I said, I would not trade Jared Allen for Draymond. I think Draymond has, you know, come back to the pack enough so that he just can't be counted on offensively at all now. So I wouldn't just make a move to make a move at all. DeAndre Hunter, I really love that trade for DeAndre Hunter. But again, it's not like he's got a ton of playoff success. That wasn't his fault this year because of that injury.
Let's go to the phones. 216-474-0092. Nathan in Cleveland. Nathan, hello.
How you doing, gentlemen?
Doing okay, Nathan. Go right on ahead.
Listen, I think that we're getting ahead of our skis a little bit. As we all know, and these are LeBron's words, ain't no party like a Diddy party.
Okay. We're just going to take Diddy calls here.
I don't think homeboy's even going to be around.
Is that what we're going to do here? If we talk about LeBron James, we're just going to talk about those things? We're just going to take Diddy calls? That's all we're going to do?
There's a lot of online posts for people that are looking for clout. That love doing that.
Putting
LeBron in those parties.
I'm going to try to take Lou in North Royalton.
By the way, people know the picture of him in the one outfit is not a real picture, right? They do know that that was Photoshopped.
I don't think they care. I don't think they care. No. Lou in North Royalton. Hello.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Hey.
How you doing this morning?
We're doing okay. Go ahead.
Listen, hear this out first. This is an article written May 13th. In the Sporting News by Drew Bishop. Three blockbuster trades that could shake up the Cavs offseason. The one I want to talk about, the first one was trading Jared Allen, DeAndre Hunter, Max Strus, a second round pick in 25 and a first round pick in 26 for Kevin Durant and Oso Odadaro. I don't know who he is, but you would get Kevin Durant. But the one I like was, because last week everybody was talking about Giannis, the trade that he had is the Cavs trade Darius Garland, Jared Allen, Max Strus, and a 2026 first-round pick for Giannis and Kyle Kuzma. Okay, you make that trade. I would put Evan at the five, Giannis at the four, and then why would you trade for assets for LeBron James when he can opt out of his contract and just sign him to whatever deal? I would do that. And then if you get Giannis and you start building that team, and you could put LeBron at the three and, you know, switch him out, you know, when LeBron...
Lou, you're breaking up. Thank you very much for the call.
Yeah, as of right now, the Cavs cannot do three for whatever trades. It literally has to be a player for player until they get out under the cap, which means they'd have to... They'd have to say goodbye. They'd have to find a way to dump the Okoro deal. Silly. They'd have to also no Ty Jerome.
Oh, silly. You want me to go? I mean, we're sitting here talking about LeBron James over something built when he doesn't even know what the second apron is. So why am I supposed to go off of that when you already put it in the quote-unquote trade machine?
Yeah,
and trade machine didn't even work.
I do think it is worth talking in theory about the type of deals or the type of players out and in just to see how you feel about either this core or what you feel that they need. Like, I am curious to see, because at the end of the year stuff, obviously we know what Kobe Altman said. What he said was, we just think there's going to be internal development. Guys are going to get better. We believe in our system. The reality is they don't have a ton of flexibility. Them making the DeAndre Hunter move, which I supported at the time, it did rob them of some flexibility here. And everything they've done to get up to this point was to build a contender now that, unfortunately, 3 years in the making cannot get out of the second round. So the question is, are they doomed in that way, or can these guys get better enough, or do they need the help? How desperate are you? Are you desperate enough to be talking about LeBron James? Are you desperate enough to be talking about Evan Mobley for Giannis?
They're already great. They are a really good team. So wouldn't it stand to reason that you would say that all they need to do is, God, it's so dumb to say that they need to get tougher. It is one of the dumbest things ever because they're all grown men. How am I supposed to say you need to get tougher? It might be the smartest thing you have to say about the Cavs, but it just sounds so stupid that I'm sitting there saying a bunch of grown men need to get tougher. But that's the way it seems. You watch the Eastern Conference Finals. What has the Eastern Conference Finals been so far? And their three games. What's the Eastern Conference Finals been? Have these teams been physical with each other? Yes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Do they both seem more tougher than the Cavs? Yes. Do they both seem like they have more talent overall than the Cavs? Tone?
No.
Okay, so what's missing? No. So why make a trade? I don't need to go out and get LeBron. In brutal honesty, like, yeah, I would take Giannis, certainly, if I could make that move. LeBron James, 41 years old, and you guys know exactly what else comes with LeBron James. Hell, I can't even go to the phones right now because everybody just wants to sit there and make jokes. So what recourse do I have other than go out and get tough?
I think part of it is
to be that way.
They don't have players on this team with any kind of championship pedigree. I think Tristan Thompson's the only one, and he doesn't play. So they don't really have that. That is something. Now, they got to get it one way or another. I do wonder if I've talked about them needing some length. They need some athleticism. I do not think they are nearly as athletic as some of the teams that are playing right now. But they also don't have guys that have been through it. And I'm wondering what they're going to do, how much of a priority they place on that going forward. They have a bunch of guys that just lose in the second round.
Good God. I get that, man. But good God, we're talking about trading for Drew Holiday. And it just sounds so silly. It sounds desperate. It sounds stupid.
Aren't they desperate?
But
didn't we all say they have a 2-year window now with Donovan Mitchell?
But they have a 2-year window anyway.
That is kind of desperation. 2-year
window anyway. So, okay, then you know what? I guess I'm desperate for toughness because these are the moves that they can make. I'm supposed to go out and trade for an older guy who's not even that good anymore, the way Drew Holiday is, to make what? To make some trade to what? Make us tougher? Get a glue guy? How am I going to know the glue guy works out? And then we're going to go back to the well of LeBron again. That's what we're going to do?
I think part of the problem is you've got young guys with a lot of talent that seem to shrink come playoff time. So, yeah, you're looking for guys that you think may have a better track record of not shrinking at that time.
Not a lot of Cavs talk on today's show. We started Gardo's. We got some Browns talk. Went back to Gardo's. Back to the Browns. So we don't. I don't know if this is technically Cavs specific, other than Bill Simmons went on the Bill Simmons podcast and suggested a specifically, let's say, aggressive trade for LeBron James.
I'm just wondering if it all ends with him going back to Cleveland. By the way, I'm not inventing this. People, this has been floating around for the last 3-4 weeks and people have been wondering just be after how it ended for Cleveland. It's like, okay, what could they do? There's a couple different ways. First of all, I'm pretty sure that they could just trade Jared Allen and DeAndre Hunter for LeBron James and take the second year of his deal and maybe give him a 1-year extension. That's a trade that according to the trade machine, you could have the LeBron opt out and then sign for a smaller deal. So like it could just be LeBron for Jared Allen, a trade that I'm not even sure Cleveland would want to do because LeBron's going to be 41 years old next year. But he could opt out, do a deal around like $20 million, straight up trade for Allen. Or he could opt out of his deal and sign with them for the 12.9 mid-level. Or he could sign with them for the minimum.
All right. If LeBron signs with anyone for the minimum, or even the 12.9 mid-level exception, I will be shocked.
Yeah, I mean, he's been the king of we have to take as much money as possible so that we don't have situations like that.
Also,
where the expectation, right? He didn't want to be Tom Brady at the end of his career, where Brady was taking so much less to play with the Patriots.
Also, if I'm already skeptical that with Darius and with Donovan together, that Evan Mobley can take the next jump he needs to, Maybe don't throw LeBron in the middle of that. It's interesting.
You do become instant title favorites, do you not?
Yes, but I don't know how. I don't. That's just a lot. I mean, okay. Listen, if you could say LeBron would sign here either for the vet min or the mid level exception, I would be over the moon. There's just another homecoming with LeBron. There's just no way I'll ever poo poo it. And LeBron, in the era of we got to get better on the margins, LeBron coming back for anything other than having to trade for him makes you an incredible amount better. It does. Also, I don't know why the Cavs are ready for LeBron reunion yet as they try and figure out their team. And I don't know why LeBron would maybe come back to Cleveland given that there are some roster complications, even if it's, again, just for the mid-level exception.
Oh, well, I mean,
which I don't think would happen in any circumstance.
Only thing I can dream up is that he's such a storyteller, right? And so he just loves his stories. And so part of his story being the start and the finish here
just
would be enough.
Him like I described my grandpa. He loves his stories.
Yeah, LeBron loves his stories.
My grandpa's a born raconteur.
I'm not talking like Matlock or anything like that. I mean, I'm like actual, he loves the story of it all. He loves the arc attached to this. So it's the only reason why I could see it possibly happening is because for the person that dreamed up wanting to play with his son, when it just shouldn't have been something he was dreaming up for years on end. Like, he thinks about these things. This is the perfect way to go out if you're LeBron.
216-474-0092. Who should want a reunion more, LeBron or the Cavs? I have my answer. Who do you think should want a reunion more?
I think the Cavs should want it more because LeBron doesn't need the Cavs in any sort of way. Because him and Luka, it's not a great team, albeit they need to get help. But like him and Luka living in Los Angeles, which I still have no idea why he wants to maintain living there outside of the idea that it's Los Angeles and the sunshine and everything else.
Probably the wildfires and the porn stars, I would think.
You think the wildfires are they're a feature, not a bug?
I'm being slightly facetious.
Because you put porn stars in that group, so I really wasn't sure.
I was saying that like a negative two.
Which,
yeah, I wasn't saying like. I mean, I thought wildfires and porn stars.
For many people, you see how my brain was confused. I was like, I think the porn stars is a positive. But I know the wildfires are a negative, but they're not making sense to me together.
I'll tell you this: porn stars and Instagram models—they don't travel.
Nothing. Nope. Nothing NBA players like more than that combination.
Listen, I've seen a Insta thought pop up in Minneapolis in January. Have NBA star will travel, said the porn star. I made that up. That kind of a little.
Yeah, it felt like it. Yeah,
it felt good though.
Okay, then.
True.
As long as you felt good about it.
I think it's LeBron. Now LeBron doesn't need anything, but LeBron coming back to Cleveland, especially for something as ridiculous as the mid-level exception, where we don't have to trade for him, and I, like everybody else, expect him to opt into the $50 million he's going to make this year. Because logic.
That's the hard part of this conversation is nobody can think this actually is going to happen.
But here's the other thing. If you could just get him to Cleveland. Yeah. I think LeBron needs it more because I don't think he's winning a championship with Luka. And I think step one of post LeBron for the Lakers, I think the biggest step they already took, they traded for Luka.
And right, the succession plan's already in place.
And much like what the Lakers did when LeBron went there, is they then spent a season evaluating everyone around him and then jettisoned everyone else to make the team best fit around LeBron and Anthony Davis. That's why they traded for AD. You've already got the bill of sale on LeBron and Luka together. Like, yes, they can conceivably be better together, but like, how do you get the roster better around Luka? You trade LeBron. So I don't think the Lakers are that much closer to winning a championship with all their imperfections. And moving on from LeBron allows the Lakers to just put it all on Luka and build the Luka Lake show. And for LeBron, if this really comes down to what does LeBron value? If it's championships, you can't tell me next year's Cavs team with him and not subtracting a whole lot. You can't tell me that wouldn't give him a better chance of winning than just him and Luka.
Well, on that note, too, if we're attaching Luka to this convo, as we should, he definitely is the center of attention on the Cavs team where he's not on the Lakers.
Yeah. Well, and I think you can go back to some of the similar stuff that LeBron did the first time, which is LeBron and the Bronettes. I don't know, you should do that, but I think what's interesting is, like, I think we're at a rare point where the Cavs don't really need LeBron. It would be a want to have, not a need to have. And the same thing can be said of LeBron. That's always been one-sided. LeBron's never really needed the Cavs. He's just wanted the Cavs when it fit his narrative, his story, like you kind of talked about.
Yeah.
So I think the power dynamic's totally different now than it was a decade ago. And so I think if you're the Cavs, that allows you to make a more clear decision. You know, I think if there were talks, back channel talks, this happened all the time in the NBA, it's the worst kept story ever. Your narrative to LeBron is, do you want to win a fifth championship? If so, come home and fit within what we got.
Well, and so in the trade, what did Bill have? He had Jared Allen and then DeAndre Hunter?
He had Allen and Hunter, which again, if they maintain under the second apron, if they're right. Still stuck in the second apron, you can't combine.
You'd
have
up,
to make another move to then get under the second apron.
But we're playing in fantasy land already, so let's keep playing with it.
If that
ended up being your trade, if you got under the second apron and then you could make that deal, that like that doesn't shorten your window at all if it doesn't work out.
Yeah, but it takes two of your biggest. I mean, Jared and DeAndre are both starters in the NBA, and that's starter level talent. Losing them for a guy who might be here for a year would complicate your window going forward. You'd probably have to trade Darius to reset the team a year from now.
We like both Jared and DeAndre, but like it's not the same as trading Mobley for Giannis, where you're like, what a short-term situation we have going on here, and we really better win it in that 1 year. You know, it's not really the case there. If you still have Donovan, you still have Mobley, you still have Garland, you have just about anybody, and you'll feel good about it.
Can I tell you the number one thing that bugs me? The Simmons thing just feels lazy to me. Even like the LeBron Cavs conjecture just feels lazy to me.
Well, it's a fun storyline for him.
Well, it's fun, but it's also easy. But I don't think the Cavs even make the most sense out of LeBron X's. I think LeBron to
Miami again.
For Khalil Ware. Well, you got to kick Dracula out of the castle.
You might as well be Pat Riley at this point. You love bringing the heat into every trade.
Well, no, it's a great place to live. Yeah, zero income tax.
What kind of porn stars do they have there, Nick?
They also travel. Pretty good ones.
No, and no wildfires? Ooh, what a spot we have.
Yeah, Gators and Hurricanes. But no wildfires and porn stars.
I was going to offset it with something else, but we don't need to go skiing here.
Oh, we don't need to, but when in South
they
Beach.
They do.
So I think if you trade LeBron for Andrew Wiggins, Duncan Robinson, Khalil Ware,
firsts. The story doesn't work with LeBron to Miami.
It works if he wins a championship. Like LeBron, and Bam Adebayo is
that's not winning you a title.
In today's era, you
LeBron,
see what's
Hero and Adebayo.
You see what's winning.
You saw how bad Miami was this last year.
3 years ago, Jalen Brunson and Cat. I don't think that's when. If you had said Tyrese Halliburton,
but you got 1 year. You got
Pascal
1 year.
All
you're doing is adding LeBron to that team that got smoked by the Cavs in the first round of the playoffs.
And what was their biggest issue? They didn't have a playmaker.
Yeah, but it's going to be a 41-year-old LeBron, and I love LeBron, but that's not going to take them to a title contender.
I think LeBron on that team with Bam and Tyler has absolutely a chance to go to a conference finals.
Okay, so now we're moving it down to a conference finals. But well, even within that, I still...
If only there were other moves they could make.
Well, I disagree with the sentiment, but that's neither here nor there. Like, he doesn't owe Miami any bit of that. He doesn't owe us anything either.
He doesn't owe anybody
but the story,
anything.
But the story isn't great, him going to Miami, and then let's even say winning a title there to close it out. It's a fifth title, and adding a title is obviously going to be great in general. That's not the argument I want to have.
I agree with you that story does matter to him. I don't think it's the only thing that matters.
Because like, I'm thinking like big picture. Like, if he wins a title, is he ever considered more than Dwayne Wade is in a Miami Heat uniform? And that answer is no.
Yeah, but I don't think that's what this is about. It's about just getting to a fifth title.
Okay, then I mean, if I'm him, I just stay and do it with Luka. Luka gives you a much better odds. Luka and adding pieces is going to give you much better odds than Adebayo and Tyler Hero.
That's if the Lakers want LeBron Luka's to be around for Luka.
Well, I mean...
Because I think that's the other part of this. It wouldn't surprise me after, what, 6 or 7 years? It wouldn't surprise me if the Lakers were just done doing business with LeBron.
At some point, they will come to that conclusion. He's still average. He still was 25-9 last year.
I think it's more the other things that come with LeBron than whether LeBron's still a good player or not.
I mean, right now they really don't have a choice.
Yeah, they do. They could
because Luka and Austin Reeves isn't going to do anything.
The second he opts in, you can just trade him. Actually, it's no movement clause, so you'd have to go ahead and get him to agree to it. But that's why I thought Miami, because I think he probably would say, you know, I'll live in Miami again for one more year. Then I'm going to go deal with Cleveland winners again for one more year.
It would be dumb if the Lakers were deciding now is the time they want out of the LeBron business.
I think getting out of LeBron business allows you to clear the books, because the reason why I mentioned Duncan and Andrew Wiggins is their money's done after, well, so Wiggins is done after 2 years from now, and Duncan only has 1 year left.
Okay, but we got prime Luka right now.
Yep,
they got to make some big moves.
I almost said prime Luka. Well, you could turn around and then use those assets to try and get Giannis too.
Okay, I mean, that is a that would be different. That's a different story.
Well, but I think my point is the first move is to get off LeBron, and then you see what opens up after that.
I think getting off LeBron and not having a plan, and the plan being we're just going to get Giannis, is a plan that is not going to work out very well for him.
Who should want a reunion more, LeBron or the Cavs? And the problem with the NBA is not the problem everyone thinks it is. It's the reverse problem. That's coming up in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.
How are you?
Gentlemen, I am great. I am just around the corner from you. Well, I thought I should just go to the studio, but then Andy said there's never any room for me there.
We have two empty seats for you. 24/7. You're always welcome to sit with us. We're only on for 4 hours a day. But if you want to hop on at 2 o'clock in the morning and start talking Cavs, you're more than welcome to. How's that sound?
That would be wonderful. I'm up at that time, so it would work out well.
Very true.
Sammy, yeah. How are the Cavs going to be able to do anything with these restrictions? And, you know, we hear people talking about, okay, Jared Allen, Darius Garland, are they on the trade? Evan Mobley, we're going to trade. Like, I think there's a sense of reality, but. Do you think this is going to be an active summer for the Cavaliers?
It'll be active, I think, in a sense. I don't think there's going to be any big splashes. I don't think that that's something that they have, you know. Sure, they're going to listen. They're going to explore. They'll look around. But the reality is I think that they prefer to keep this core together, you know, and that makes sense because – number one, they like it. They went 64-18. And number two, they don't have a lot of wiggle room financially to make a lot of big moves. And they don't want to make a big splash. They just want to bring in reinforcements. And I think that, yes, is something that's possible and something that they'll be able to do. But as far as the Mobley talk, the Allen talk, the Garland talk, I wouldn't take any of that too seriously.
All right, let me play devil's advocate. You've kept the core four together now for 3 years. You've changed coaches, going from one successful coach to another successful coach, and yet you've been knocked out of the playoffs well short of your goal in second round for the second year in a row. How do you make it better if you don't make a change to that group?
Well, I think you look, okay, let's take the the Oklahoma City Thunder. They lost in the second round last year, right? They had a great regular season, finished with the top seed in the West. They kept their players together, went out and got a couple reinforcements, went out and got Hartenstein, Caruso, not big splashy moves, just guys who played strong supporting roles, yeah, right?
Good basketball players.
Good basketball players who fit in with the rest of the system. Look at the Boston Celtics of 2 years ago. Didn't get to the finals. Kept getting knocked out year after year with Tatum and Jaylen Brown as their core. Went out and got, you know, Jrue Holiday. Went out and got Kristaps Porzingis, which was a little splashier move. But those are the type of things that the Cavs, I think, are looking to do, which is, and have the capability to do. Keep the core together. Let's add to it. Now, DeAndre Hunter, a full season with them is probably going to be one addition. You know, what they're viewing as one so-called addition. And, you know, can we keep Ty Jerome? Can we keep Sam Merrill? These are the other things that they're looking at. So I don't think, Jeff, in fairness, 3 years is a very long time to have a core together.
I would agree.
Especially when they're, yeah, you know, when they're growing together. So I think that as much as fans hate to see this, you try to ride it out. And guess what? You have all the way to February to make a deal if you feel the need to do that.
I was just going to mention DeAndre Hunter. Sammy, I've seen his name thrown out in some trade rumors that he might be a piece you could move to bring something in. And my response to that was, well, he's the piece that you went out to get because you didn't have anything like him. And I think he's vital to what they want to do moving forward. He's one guy I wouldn't want to move at all.
No, because I'm in agreement with you there, because he's, you know, he's the 6'9" guy who defends wings, hits shots, and I think you really need to give a guy a full year. I thought he played very well, but you need to give him a full year in his new surroundings, a training camp, all of that stuff, to get mentally adjusted to playing with his new teammates that are still relatively new. He'd be one guy. What are you going to get in return? Probably a guy who's either just like DeAndre Hunter,
right,
and now you're starting from square one, or somebody who's not as good. I just think a lot of things that we hear and see are just trades for the sake of making them, which very rarely work out well.
Could you see him starting next year? I love the idea of him playing with Mitchell, Garland, Mobley, and Allen.
You know, I've talked about that a few times, Jeff. Actually, I think that, and nothing against Max Strus, because he's fantastic. He's the one guy that always is mentally tough. You know, we heard Kobe Altman talk about that. But I think if you're going to start 2 6-foot-1 guards, as dynamic as they are, they're all stars. I think that you have to consider a 6'9" small forward as opposed to, you know, Max Strus, 6'3.5", 6'4", small forward. And that's nothing, again, nothing against Max Strus.
No,
but maybe
bring Max off the bench. Bring him off the bench.
Right. And he's playing about the same amount of minutes, right? So
sure.
I don't think that that's the impact. But I think if there's going to be, if people are looking for a big change next season, that could be it. DeAndre Hunter, with that extra 5-6 inches, is your starting small forward next to Mitchell and Garland, Mobley and Allen.
Sam, what are the Cavs learning about being successful in the playoffs by watching this year's playoffs?
I would hope, Andy, that they're seeing these other teams that are, you know, the Thunder, the Pacers, even the Knicks, and even the Timberwolves before they, you know, fell apart, all are very physical teams in the sense that, oh, the refs are going to let us get away with this? Well, then we're going to do it. You know, we're going to do a little more scratching, clawing, grabbing, shoving. Not dirty, but to the point where it's like we're right at that line. We're not going to cross it, but we're right there. And I think that that's one thing that this group of Cavs, this core, has seen over and over. And that's something that they need to utilize. Now, whether that's, you know, somebody that's not on the roster yet that they bring in, you know, bring in a playable backup center who plays 15 or 20 minutes and just, you know, bring some muscle, or whether these guys, the current group, adjusts and plays more that way next playoff, I think mostly that's what they're seeing.
Sam Amico joining us from HoopsWire.com. HoopsWire.com. Something's happened this postseason, Sam, that has made me think about something involving the NBA playoffs that I don't like at all. I don't like the idea that I actually came up with. So I want you to help me shoot it down. It's been weird to me how many lopsided games we've had in the playoffs. And, you know, think back to 2016 when the Cavs won the NBA championship over Golden State. There were lopsided games in that series. But Oklahoma City just is going to the NBA Finals. And let me give you some numbers. They had games against Minnesota, wins of 30 and 26 points, and they lost by 42 and won the series in five games. So only two games weren't blowouts. Against Denver, it went seven, but they had wins of 43 and 33 points. Against Memphis, they had a 51-point win, a 19-point win. Now look at Indy. In the Cavs series, there were five games. Three of them were decided by 20 or more points. Cavs won one of them. You can keep going. You know, Knicks did the same type of thing. I wonder, and I don't like this idea, are teams kind of pacing themselves? All right, we're up two, so we don't have to bring it tonight. Our energy's not going to be there. The other team is. I just thought, how competitive would this be if you said, best of three, fellas, get after it, let's go. I hate that idea. But I also hate watching playoff games decided by more than 20 points.
Yeah, well, first of all, I thought your suggestion was going to be a running clock, which
which isn't bad.
That's not a bad idea.
Although all the comebacs you've seen by Indiana, you know, who knows?
Yeah, right. That's true, and the Knicks. But yeah. if you remember, and this is before my time, but I do remember reading about it. The first round used to be best of three. Remember that?
Sure did.
Back in the old days, but. I mean, they're not going to do it because obviously for financial reasons, but I don't think that's a terrible idea. Or, you know, if you go up 3-0, the series is over, because guess what? It is. We've seen the teams are like 100 and 1,012 when they're down, you know, 0-3. So I don't know. I do think it's human nature when you have a 2-0 lead, especially like the Pacers, where in each of the last two series they won both the first two games on the road, that you have a little bit of a letdown in that next game. So, yeah, you know, I think by and large the playoffs have been fantastic. But
I agree.
Those games.
Yeah, I hate my idea, because I love a best of seven, except so many games this postseason have just been blowouts.
Yeah, and that's true. It does seem like more than usual, but. I don't know. Maybe the running clock. Maybe best of three. Maybe if you're down 20, that's it. You lose the series.
Like the Cavs, the Cavs in the Miami series. Cavs, you know, sweep Miami. They won by 21, 37, and 55 points. I mean, like, why bother? It's not
watchable.
I have found it annoying. Yeah, like last night. To be honest, I'll be honest with you. I tuned into. I was watching other stuff. And I tuned in to the Oklahoma City game, and they were up by like 25 to 30 points in the early, late first quarter, early second quarter. And I thought, well, there's no reason for me to sit here and watch a 30-point blowout, and I turned the channel. And I came back, and I kept checking. Is it still 25, 30? Yep, it was. All right, Oklahoma City's going to win. I just don't find that very entertaining.
No, and I think, you know, part of that was the Minnesota Timberwolves just mailed it in, and I don't know if you can do anything about that. But you're right. It's not been great when there's those big blowouts. It's not good for the fans, and it's certainly not good for the product overall, for the NBA overall, when that happens.
This has been kind of curious. We've been talking a little bit about this, too. What's going to happen to Giannis? What do you think happens?
He's under contract.
He's under contract. I don't know. It's going to come down to Giannis. It's not a team. The Bucks aren't looking to trade him, and they have no desire to trade him. And, you know, they don't want to do that because they probably learned from, I guess it's, what, 50 years ago now, this summer, with July of 1975, when they traded Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Yeah.
And that didn't go well for them. So they have a face of the franchise in Giannis. And all I can tell you is I know that, they're meeting. He's going to have a meeting with ownership and the GM there, John Horst, and a lot's going to come down to whatever that meeting is about. I will say this, and this is not my opinion. This is something that another general manager shared with me. International players tend to be incredibly loyal to the team that drafted them and the team that's trying to build around them. That's why, you know, we saw Luka Doncic cry when he was traded to the Lakers, right? So I think that there's, and it's just a cultural thing. Internationally, they're just, it just seems like they're more loyal to their employer. Now, I don't know if that's entirely true. It was a theory from another general manager. So I personally think Giannis will be back with the Bucks. I have a hard time seeing him demand a trade, and that's the only way they would trade him.
What impresses you most about Oklahoma City? Is it what they're doing right now, or is it that they've done all this with a lot of young guys and still have assets moving forward like absolute crazy? I just think they've done a great job, Sam.
Yeah, you think about what they've done with 68-14 record, dominating in the regular season, and how they've played in these playoffs, and this team they put together, the second youngest team to make the finals in the last 70 years, trailing only the Bill Walton Blazers in 77. And yet you look at how many first-round picks they have coming up, which is basically more than anybody. You know, they look, you got to get a little bit lucky. Nobody knew Shai Gilgeous-Alexander was going to be this good, right, when the Clippers traded him in that Paul George trade. They never would have made that deal. But just the way that they built around him, that when they hired their coach, Mark Daniel, everybody was like, who? You know, so there are so many ways to build a winner. And they went about it, what people will tell you, is the right way. They didn't go out star hunting. They didn't try to form a big three. They built an entire team with a coach who fits their personalities very well. So they were very fortunate in that sense. But what they've done, you know, their defense is just relentless. I don't know that I've seen an NBA defense this good in this era, in the past 20, 25 years. People don't talk about that enough. But then you factor in that they have all these assets. They're not going to have room to add all these assets, draft picks, because they're line of set. But you can go trade. And look, if the Milwaukee Bucks want to trade Giannis Antetokounmpo, or if they figure out, they find out that they have to trade him, there may be no team in better position to get him than the Thunder. So they've really set themselves up, and that is, you know, I think that the Cavs are run very similarly to them, and that's why I say, you know what, don't blow it up, don't panic, don't get, you know, overreact to losing in the second round again. Just stay the course, and, you know, a team like the Thunder shows you that, hey, it can work, even if you're a young team.
And just so everybody knows, Oklahoma City has two number ones coming up in this draft in a second. They have three number ones in 2026, a couple of protections on that from Philly and Utah. They have a number two. In 2027, they have two number ones and two number twos. And in 2028, a number one and three number twos. In 2029, two number ones and three number twos, four number twos, five number twos. They have picks like crazy sitting there waiting to be put to use.
What are you going to do with all those?
I don't know. You're going to trade them for star players, Sam. You're right.
That's exactly what you can use those for.
Yep.
You know, when there's an all-star on a team that's not winning, here, have these picks, and all of a sudden the Thunder theoretically get even better.
Yep.
What do you like tonight?
I'm with Jeff. I like the Knicks at home, but I think this series is over. I think the Pacers are going to the finals. It's just, you know, the Knicks may have one last hurrah in their own building.
And then who do you like in the finals?
As the Pacers keep playing the way they're playing, I'm not going to completely count them out against a incredibly good Oklahoma City team. But I do like the Thunder. But if the Pacers have been playing like this, they continue to play like this, physical, elite shot making, it's going to be a whale of a series. And I think it's going to be a really, really fun matchup, even though people are complaining about the market size and all that. I think this would be, it's set up to be a fantastic finals, one of the best we've seen in years.
Agreed.
Sammy, as always, we appreciate you. Thank you so much.
All right, guys. Thanks for having me. I promise next time I will come fill one of those empty chairs.
Blaze, there's plenty. We could put three of you in here if you want. Just go eat some.
Oh, I wouldn't wish that on anyone.
Goodbye, Sam.
Bye-bye. This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.